Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
Hello, welcome back to Rogue Startups. This is episode 273. Is that right, Dave? Episode 273?
Sounds pretty close to me. If it isn't, well, then you're going to be listening to the wrong number versus what shows up in your favorite podcast app or RSS feed. So,
yes.
Apologies on that. We're still experiencing our holiday, post-holiday re-engage the brain moment here.
And you would think after like 6 years of this, we'd be able to figure out how to do this right, but I think that's what people have come to expect from the show, so we'll kind of roll with it.
Meeting expectations since 2016. Yeah, that's my new thing here. Yeah.
I did see several kind of comments in the Twitter sphere on our last episode, which is really cool. I think we were talking about AI and the economy and how we both think there's some things that people aren't talking about there. And that was kind of like echoed in the Twitter sphere. So that's cool that there are indeed people listening and that they like and enjoy what we're throwing out here. So that was cool.
Yeah, please keep that up. If you have something to say about that, please tweet us on the Twitter sphere, and we would be happy to engage further. So that's probably Absolutely. The most convenient place for either of us at this point.
Yep, for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought we would talk today as kind of an updates part of an episode about like what we're looking forward to in this year, what our plans are. It's the beginning of the second week of January, so I think still kind of in the new year spirit. But yeah, I mean, I think probably like you were just talking about your rocks. We definitely have set our OKRs and even talked about like multi-year plans today in our team meeting. So I think it's a good time of year to talk about these bigger picture things and what they might mean to the business.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know how you feel about each time you go through the OKR process, but I can tell you every time. So I've looked back through all of my stuff for EOS, and basically I've gone through the annual planning phase now three different times because I save all of the documentation every year and I look back at the previous year and I compare that to what actually happened, what I intended to happen, what I want to happen in the next year, and kind of look and see at that. And the one thing I'm noticing is that the more I'm doing this, the better I'm getting at the planning process itself and understanding like what is a good goal, and it's not just like the SMART goals, but like what are the goals that tie together with the rocks that are moving things forward in the business? Because when I first started out on this, I would have goals for the business and then I would have separate rocks, and my rocks were sort of tied into the goals, but like maybe in some cases tangentially, or it would be like, oh, I think about these goals and then it's a totally separate thing. Here's what I'm going to work on for the next 3 months. And then, you know, after doing that for a couple of years, I'm like, that didn't really move that goal very far forward. So why the hell did I do that? Like that kind of stuff. Have you noticed that with your OKRs?
100%. Yeah. And I'm feeling extremely guilty as you're saying this because like,
it's not a guilt trip, man. I promise.
You know, like, so the way I think about it, and this is just off the top of my head, but the way I think about it is like, I have in my mind where I want us to go. And like, if I'm doing a good job, then the team should know that too, you know? And then I kind of leave it up to them to set the OKRs or the rocks for the quarter. But it really then is kind of like on me to say like, okay, is the development OKRs or rocks or whatever contributing to like a step in the right direction for kind of where we want to get the product and stuff like that. And I guess like subconsciously, that's always like the barometer I use to say like, yep, these are good OKRs, or that doesn't really, you know, kind of make sense. Like we should probably think about something else. So it's very loose on a good day, I guess is what I'm saying. But I guess it is the litmus test for me when we're talking about them to say like, if someone presents OKRs to me, or I'm coming up with my own for like marketing, because I'm kind of in charge of that right now. Like if I create, you know, an OKR set that is divergent from our overall company goals, then that's wrong. And typically that's like course corrected. Yeah, I guess that's how it goes in my head, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that process has gotten better for me over the years. And this year I was the most cognizant of it. And partly because, you know, I took the longest this year to do my annual planning than I ever have before. And it was really spread out, honestly, over multiple weeks. And I would do it in like little chunks instead of like sitting down and forcing myself to do it in one sitting, which I've done before. And I did the original time. And I, you know, the very first time I did the full retreat, I went off somewhere and I made the whole space and time and intention and the atmosphere and all of that, and had a very structured day of specific times and the timers and some background music that was conducive and all of this stuff. And I felt at the end of the process, like there were times that I needed more time to sit off and think about it. Like I thought that was sort of what I wanted to do, but I wasn't totally sure. And this year, and then last year, I just basically went and did it in haste in a coffee shop. And I think that was a mistake. And then this year I was like, I want to do it differently. And I started at the beginning of December because I knew I had a lot of extra time. And I kind of walked into December with this mindset of, you know, there's some tech debt that needs to be addressed and some other things, but I don't have like pressing marketing things to be working on right now. In fact, it's sort of a weird time to be doing marketing anyway for me. So instead, I tried to engage the planning process deeply for that and a few other side tasks. And I felt like that was more valuable by just taking it in small little chunks like that. Do you tend to go for the big bang, or do you try to break it up or spread it out, or, you know, what works best for you?
Yeah, I guess it's spread out because, yeah, I don't have like a day or a couple of days where it's just quarterly planning. It's a couple hour sessions. And I've gotten undisciplined about like, it's at my desk, which I know it kind of shouldn't be.
yeah, I did that too.
Yeah. But also like, I don't know, maybe I'm justifying it to myself, but like, it's not like we're taking like a 90-degree turn in the business. You know, a lot of it is like, we need to get like 10% better at this and 30% better at this. So like, we're not revolutionizing what we're doing at this point, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. I feel like I was basically iterating on my previous efforts.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying, I don't think that's totally wrong if they're generally in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you've got a pretty strong idea of where you want to go in a long-term trajectory, then you can sort of say, all right, medium term, that means I need to hit here. Short term, it means I need to be within this kind of area in order to make those two other goals, which is why you do the 10-year, the 3-year, and the 1-year planning. And then you break it up into rocks to say, how do I get to that 1-year goal?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So it sounds like you're kind of doing yours in a similar way. And I definitely did that plan at my desk thing this year, but part of it was, you know, it was super cold and snowy here in Colorado, and I was not in the mood to be going out driving around trying to find a place. And then it also got late enough that I was like, I'm not renting a condo or something in the mountains at Christmas prices. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
There was some of that kind of worked into it, but when the kids were home doing their thing, you know, baking cookies or doing whatever, then, you know, I was here in the office and it was later in the afternoon, and I just carved out that space to say, all right, now I want to think about this piece of the thing. And I actually did one of the exercises I hadn't done in a while. I know you've already done this for Castos, but I finally went and wrote down all the roles, what needed to be done in Recapture, because I was sort of telling myself this lie all along that I'm just doing sales and marketing and Mike is handling the technical stuff and Julia is handling the QA and that's it. Like that, you know, that's all that's really going on here. But when I wrote down all of the things that I really engaged in here and what things needed to be done for Recapture and who owned those things, my name showed up in a disturbingly large number of boxes on that diagram. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, this makes sense. And so, you know, it gave me a pause about, all right, is this the year that I also need to be thinking about hiring somebody else to do certain other things to take those things off my plate so that I continue to expand and have things. So like, if you're doing this in EOS terms, you've got to have the visionary, you've got to have the integrator, and then under them, you have all the leads of the various core areas. So for Recapture, that's sales and marketing. Well, if you want to separate them, but I combine them at the moment, sales and marketing, engineering, finance, which, you know, I was like, oh, we don't do finance. Well, that's bullshit. Yeah, of course you do finance, Dave.
You have
a goddamn P&L every month that you send out to you send all the stuff over to your bookkeeper and she sends you back all the P&L updates. So yeah, that is being handled, but that's still you sitting in the CFO seat right now. You know, and then there's admin stuff. Every time that we've had to hire, I'm like shuffling things around and, you know, adding them to all these various accounts and getting them to sign NDAs and contractual shit and all of this stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's my name in that box too. Like, you know, I'm sure you did that with Castos quite a while ago, but that was kind of eye-opening for me with Recapture this year.
Yeah, man, totally. I mean, there are some things I don't do at all, which is great. I'm not a developer, right? So I don't touch the product or the development stuff at all. Like, I have chats with those folks and they are amazing and like take care of everything. And so like, that's totally off my hands. Same with like support. Like, I don't get into Help Scout ever really. And so that's great. But you know, sales, I'm still like heavily involved in. Marketing is like almost all in my plate right now. Certainly from like a strategy perspective, we're working with like contractors and Matt and stuff like that on our team. But like, it's still like a lot of the responsibility is on me. And then like, yeah, you know, admin stuff, finance, you know, vision and all the kind of big picture stuff is on me. Yeah. And I think that like, that's the hard part of a business like either of ours is like, you're not big enough to hire anyone for all those roles, much less like really fucking amazing people, you know,
right.
Like you can't afford a $200,000 a year marketing person, which is probably what you got to pay like a really good one in the US. And so you're left with like, oh, I'll like cobble together these few freelancers and this one consultant or whatever. Like we were talking about AdWords stuff, you know, like that's like several people's job in a big company. Whereas like we're fortunate that maybe on one hand to say like, hey, in the kind of, you know, modern economy, there's really specific freelancers that can solve one part of this problem for you. But then like, you know, eventually the responsibility of the vision and the goal setting, all that stuff ends up back on your plate. And I think that's the challenge in these kind of like medium sized SaaS business or any kind of business, but like medium sized businesses is like you, at the end of the day, you're responsible for a lot, even if you're not implementing a lot of the end like product or result.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, that is an ongoing challenge to try to balance that, to split your time and give yourself the bandwidth to do the things that are most important right now. So that's like this constant reprioritization task.
Yeah.
Understanding, oh, okay, well, this quarter is like the best time. Like right now for Recapture, this is the time that all the shit is moving around in e-commerce. People are starting to reevaluate their tech stacks, the solutions. They look back at Q4, they say that didn't work. I don't like that provider. That vendor didn't do very well. This email was shit, whatever. And now is when they're looking, right? So now is when we have to execute on our marketing as quickly as possible. So like this is the time where marketing becomes my biggest focus, but not like I'm not building a ton of product. I'm not going to be making huge amount of changes on the way that things are running internally within Recapture, because that isn't like the most important thing for me right now. So that's where the priorities kind of get dumped around there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I'll just give two things on this in terms of prioritization. One thing I did recently and like wrote a blog post about it. So if you want to check it out, head over to the website, to my website, I should say, craighewitt.me, is focus days. So essentially I have Tuesday and Friday, zero calls. And I have a lot of fucking calls. And so all the calls are on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Thursday, it's just me doing the shit I got to do like on an individual contributor level. That's been really helpful. It makes Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday really meeting heavy. Like I have four or five calls each day, which is a lot. But then Tuesday and Friday, like I don't check email really. And I'm able to focus on the stuff to like move the ball forward on like sales and marketing stuff. The other thing is like we just do less stuff than we used to. And I think this is really important, is just like, just say no to everything that's not that one thing, you know? Like, hey, should we fucking, you know, create this free tool? No. Like, if that's not the most important thing, then just 100% no, put it in a backlog somewhere and don't look at it again until the next quarter. Like, I don't do a great job of this, but as I do more of it, it's really powerful. And that's, you know, PE firm, hey, do you want to have a meeting? No. Should we build this feature? No. Should we accommodate this certain type of way a customer wants to pay? No. And like, the more you can say no, just you'll have less to consider. Because I think you're spot on that is like, it's not the hours in the day. It's like this mental capacity and overhead to do the important shit. And I never really got this. And I feel like I'm just beginning to understand this, that it's like, I don't work too many hours, but I don't have enough really good time to work. And I feel like that's just something I'm getting out of now.
Yeah. Yeah. So to that end, I actually did something this year. I bought this like for Black Friday for myself. It is the productivity planner. So a friend of ours, Charles Pileski, recommended this. Charles is the founder of Spark Shipping. So shout out to Charles. Love your product. But he recommended this productivity planner, and it's a paper one. Like, it's a physical book. It's nicely bound, from intelligentchange.com. And basically, you know, I'm specifically recommending this because it seemed like it would work for me, but you know, I don't want to say this is the only way to do this. There's 100 ways out there. You could do this exact same thing. You could literally do this with your own paper and pen. You could also do it with other tools. You could do it with straight up Pomodoro technique and some good note-taking in Evernote. I mean, but basically what it forces you to do is you do a week-long planning. So usually on Sunday night, and I just started this literally this week, although I've been kind of prepping for it because I knew this was going to be the first long week I had of work. I specifically didn't try to put it in the middle of the holidays when things were broken up and, you know, people were off. It just didn't make any sense. So I specifically pushed it to January and said, this week is when it starts. But so you do a planning of the week. And in that planning of the week, you basically have to say, what are the 5 most important tasks that you need to accomplish this week? And then after that, what are the secondary tasks of importance? And then after that, what are the additional tasks? And like, what is your overall intention for the week? And the goal here is that you should accomplish everything on the 5 most important tasks list. Maybe you'll get some of the secondary tasks done. And, you know, if you're having a fantastically productive week, the additional tasks starts getting knocked out as well. But the way that you're supposed to think about this here is to prioritize it in such a way that if you only got the things done on the most important tasks list, you would be happy. That's the way that they tell you to think about it. And so, you know, if you've got 5 important tasks, guess what? That means you have 1 important task per day of the week. So you break that up. You know, for me today, I had a lead gen meeting with this guy in an agency, and that was my most important task. It was one of my most important tasks. So today, that was my most important task. And then I had some other secondary stuff for, you know, working on a target keyword for some SEO stuff, doing some email support, and then dealing with some health insurance shit. It turns out I'm going to be able to get all of the stuff done here before the end of the day. But that's not necessarily the case. Like, your main task could take you hours and hours and hours, and you have to decide what is it that you're going to do. And then if it does, if it's like a really super big task, then you're supposed to break it down even further because this is supposed to help you recognize that, you know, you can't just say, write an article. Because writing an article means a whole bunch of things. Well, there's some research that you have to do. You got to find some keywords to go with that. Then you got to do the outline of the article. And maybe you have to get images for the article and all this other stuff. You have to break that stuff down to say, what is the most important thing I'm going to do today? If you have write the article as your goal for the week, then you break down those 5 things into 1 thing per day so that it doesn't end up at the end of the week. You're like, I didn't get the fucking article done. Like, yeah. That kind of stuff. So this, you know, I'm not very far into this at all, but based on what Charles has said, and he's been following this for quite a while, and based on what I think my brain wraps around, I think this is going to be pretty successful to help me accomplish those goals and to stay organized for exactly what you were just talking about.
Yeah. No, I really like that. I mean, I like that better than what I do currently, which is sometimes I think about it. Sometimes I actually write it down, is write down like the three things I want to get done that day. And the difficulty with that is sometimes it makes you reactive because you're not sitting down on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, planning the week ahead, you know, without your inbox and Slack and stuff staring at you. And you can think more in terms of weeks. But then also, like, sometimes, like, three things in a day is a lot, you know? And so, sometimes, like, just yeah. one, like, that one, because I think sometimes subconsciously I don't put a really big thing on there because I know that I need to get all three done. But in reality, like, if you write a super landing page in a day, like, that's huge, you know? And so, like, you got to give yourself that grace to say, like, hey, I'm only getting this thing done today because I got three calls, and then I have these 2 hours to get this thing done. So I like that. I might steal that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems so. I've done the reactive thing before where I write down at the beginning of the day, or sometimes it's middle of the day where I've written down, here are the things I want to get done today. But part of the mistake was I've usually done that after I've gone through my email. So now I've basically pulled my to-dos out of the emails in most cases, which is again, being reactive. And I feel like that's not been really good. Now, the nice thing about December is that my email volume went down for a while anyway. I had more customer support early on in the month, which was a little surprising, and that was good. But, you know, when the email volume went down, it suddenly gave me that space to go, huh, all right, well, I don't have a to-do list from support. What should I be doing now? Like, I had to start thinking about that more. And, you know, that's what sort of led me into the, oh yeah, maybe this is the time to start doing that intelligent change thing and plan that more actively. And then I also kind of got into the, oh, you know, there's a lot of SEO low-hanging keywords that are low-hanging fruit that I could really pull some articles together and get some big bang for my buck just by doing some not terribly massive effort on my own here. I wouldn't have to hire anybody to do it. I could put the stuff together. In fact, I would probably have to supply them so much stuff to tell them what to write that by that time I should have just written it myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff has helped me be better organized. And because I was already starting to think about that in December, that transition so far into January has been, well, we'll call it seamless here, 9 days in. You know, check back with me here at the end of February to see if I still think it's seamless. But this thing is a quarter experiment here. I'm going to run this for the whole quarter and see how it goes. So,
yeah, I like it. I mean, I think if you stick with it, it'd be hugely successful. Even just the exercise of prioritizing what's important, even if you don't get more done, like overall, like, I think it'll be huge.
Yeah. And there's a lot of tracking stuff that goes with it. I'm giving myself some grace to say, I don't need to do 100% of what they're asking me to do. Like, here's your mood tracker. How did the day go? Like, rate your day and other stuff. I'm like, I feel like I would get so much out of it if I just was able to prioritize and say, I got this done or I didn't get this done. And here's how long it took. That's enough. Like, and maybe the other stuff I add if I'm really excited about it. But, you know, I know from my own experience, if I try to make something too complicated, too hard, or too involved too soon, I'm not going to do it. So I'm just not going to do that.
You know, something that this makes me think about is I think there's a lot of importance with, like, consistency of these kinds of things, both in, like, how you work, but also in how you communicate with other people, like, internally. I'm just thinking about, like, you know, vision and the 1 year goal and the 3 year, whatever it is, 1 year plan and 3 year goal and 10 year vision. Like, what those are going to change, you know, but, like, being for me, like, being consistent with just communicating those in general, and then, like, how I communicate those, and then how I am true to that and, like, follow through with, like, how I work and how I guide the rest of the team to work, you know, like, I know this is kind of whatever, like, out there, but, like, if you do that every once in a while, then nobody takes you seriously. If you do it consistently, then they say, wow, this must be important because, like, the boss talks about it all the time. I better take this seriously too. And like, I'm nudging myself with this, but, like, I think a lot of us as founders think that this stuff just isn't important because we left corporate America because we didn't want to talk about, you know, mission, vision, and values and stuff. But, like, if you do them right, they should, like, answer the question of, like, priority and importance for everyone all the time. You know, like, if the question of, like, how should we handle this should go back to, like, mission, vision, and values. and rocks and all that. Like, it should all just be like answered automatically if you communicate those right.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, I found myself in the last 3 to 6 months timeframe-ish talking more about like what our values are and how something relates back to a core value. Yeah. And you know, I was like, I think somewhere in September I was catching myself going, oh God, you've turned into one of those corporate drones. And then later I actually thought about it some more and I was like, no, because I am setting the culture here. If I don't tell everybody what's important, then how are they going to know? They're going to make something that's important that I may or may not agree with.
Yep.
But if I say this is important and I put it on the website and I put articles on our Slack, our corporate Slack about that, or I start talking about that during meetings, or, you know, when I onboard somebody else, I say, all right, you have to watch this thing on our core values and that's required. And I need you to like, send me this is something I do. Send me an email that says which core value resonates with you the most. So I know that they've understood it and they've thought about it somewhat. Right.
Yep.
And you know, I used to think that was kind of bullshit, but I think it really does have some importance to be able to communicate what things need to happen and why. Because if you can point to a value and say, hey, look, we're not putting that in because simplicity is one of our values, it makes it very clear, like, I'm not personally against your change. It's just, it's against our values. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that simplifies it quite a bit.
Yeah. And then the big one though is like, at some point you won't have to say, yes, we're going to do that or not, because people will answer the question for themselves, you know?
Like, right.
Oh, of course we're not going to do that because our values say that simplicity is one of our, you know, most important things. And this overly simplifies for not a lot of upside or whatever. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You know, so like really specifically, Dave, are there things that you're looking at in like the first half of the year that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I can talk about some of the things that I've got on here. So, you know, I've alluded to this a little bit. You know, I did some research and I identified that there was a bunch of keywords that Recapture could really like dead simply rank for that are not, they're not huge, high volume. We're not talking about 5-10,000 a month or anything like that, but they are high intent, bottom of the funnel keywords. And as soon as I started finding those, I was like, huh, I guess I really should be writing an article for that. And then after I went and identified 64 of the keywords that are all like, if you're on Ahrefs tool, then you know the keyword difficulty numbers, like these were all less than 6.
Oh,
and
shut
I'm
up.
Like, oh, I know. I was like, oh, Jesus. I mean, I'm leaving customers all over the floor by not doing anything about those. So I was like, all right, I have poo-pooed content marketing for too long. And I feel like I don't need to do content marketing for content marketing's sake. I need to do content marketing to hit these keywords because I believe that these keywords have high buyer intent and I'm dumb for not doing anything about them. So, you know, that's one of my goals here is to increase our organic traffic to over 500 views a month, which right now it's basically negligible to non-existent.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, there's some in there, but it's not that interesting. And it really should be going to targeted pages. There's some that's on the main page, but for all intents and purposes, it's just not that useful.
Yeah.
So that's probably my number one goal right there. I'm going to do some other stuff about, we've got some technical ones. I need to hire a new tech lead. Obviously still that's got to be something that I need to get done this year, but I also added retain them. So I think that's changing my focus a little bit. Like, how can I ask the right set of questions to make sure that this person really wants to be in this seat? So it's right person, right seat in EOS parlance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I also want them to be a hell yes from Derek Sievers, right?
Yeah.
So if they're not both of those things, then I'm not going to hire them, which means I may need to be really patient here. And I had to be pretty patient last time, but patience looks like it may be a continued virtue on that. But that's another goal, is to hire and retain something. And I also want to do some outreach events. So this is part of my experimentation here. So some of those are webinars. I'm going to try to host some local happy hours to bring some, you know, merchants and founders and other e-commerce developers, just to get some community and get me out of the house. So those are three things that I'm looking at right now. I've got some other ones that are less interesting than those, but yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah. Just as a note, like, I'd be really curious to hear how hiring is, like, these days. We haven't hired since May. It was for a developer, for Jesse. But it would be very interesting to hear how hiring developers is for you these days. So we will definitely stay tuned for that.
yeah, I got four words for you right now. Pain in the ass. It's hard.
And, less than it used to be, probably. I mean, I have to believe it's a little easier these days.
Maybe, it could be the price range that I'm looking at. You know, I'm sure if you're looking on the higher end, you're looking for FANG style engineers, you probably have a lot more to pick from than you used to. But yeah, I mean, down where I'm at, it's harder for sure.
For me, similar goals, right? Growing organic traffic and trial starts is the number one goal for me, for sure. And really kind of like a little bit for everybody, like a lot of stuff is pointing back to that. Brought on a new like SEO consultant that I really like how kind of holistic they think, which is cool. We're being super targeted, which is something I picked up from Ruben. You know, I think about SEO from like a site-wide perspective, and Ruben thinks about it from like, what's the page where we could really make a difference, you know? And so like, that's what we're doing. Like, our entire like marketing strategy for the quarter is around one page on the site.
Oh, nice. I like that. Very focused.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. It's really focused, and it's like it's not the 80-20, it's the like outsized returns thing, you know, like this won't have like incremental returns, but it could have like multiplicative or whatever exponential kind of returns if we do really good with this one page. So that's like, that's basically marketing. Pretty interested to see how that goes. There's going to be a lot of effort that goes into it. And then there's some product stuff that I'm not like involved with on a day-to-day basis, but will be very cool and will take a lot of product marketing when they're out. And so I'm kind of just like waiting for those to be ready, but we're kind of like at least a month. But when they're out, they will require a ton of my time to do like an honest job of marketing the all the work we've done to create these new products and features. And so like that's kind of something that I'm just simmering on. And know that, you know, middle of the quarter or whatever, it will consume all of my time, basically. So, yeah, that's kind of like, that's the first quarter at least. And then, you know, hopefully just more of the same. Like we were talking before, like, we're not doing, like, radical change in the business, but, like, growth had definitely slowed for a while and need to change things, but are trying to be really specific about what we do to change those, and not just like fucking, oh, let's try Pinterest and let's try Instagram ads and let's try all this stuff. It's like,
oh, yeah,
let's just do better at what we do, is kind of the theme for the year, I guess.
Yeah. Double down on what's working, or, you know, incremental improvements, iteration. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, which is good, because like not reinventing the wheel, like, requires a lot less, you know, glucose, you know, brain energy than kind of starting from scratch. So like just taking what we have and doing better at it is like, seems feasible and reasonable. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That sounds like a recipe for some success in 2023. So.
I hope so, for both of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we did have growth and recapture last year, and I want to see that again this year. The only way I think I'm definitely going to do that is to make sure that, you know, I find new ways to bring in new leads. So whatever I can do to facilitate that, that's definitely been the highest things on my priority list for sure.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Seems good. Seems good. Well, I hope everyone listening enjoyed this episode. If you did enjoy it and want to share it with a friend, that would be awesome. That is Dave and I's one ask, is to share the podcast with someone who you think would enjoy it as well. As always, hit us up on Twitter. Dave and I are always up for chatting about kind of thoughts on whatever, life, business, SaaS, the podcast, whatever. But just love to hear from folks that listen to the pod. And as always, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.